Welcome back to the Dad Work Podcast. My name is Kurt Storing, your host and the founder of Dad Work. We are not restarting the Dad Work Podcast, but I am simply recording this episode to close the loop on a number of things, to give you guys some updates, hopefully share some learnings that might be valuable to you. But again, just to close this loop for me, I don't think God's going to call me back to this for some time. I could be wrong. There's a number of projects related to Dad Work with other people that I've worked with in the past where I'm trying to give a hand, but I don't think we'll be doing anything specifically with Dad Work. So let's just close this loop. And I wanted to take this opportunity to give you four updates. Number one, new podcast coming out. I'm going to tell you about that in a sec. Number two, the new business I'm running. Hopefully some of you guys might know someone who would be given value by what we're doing. And if so, I'll let you know about that. Number three, a bunch of learnings since deciding to put Dad Work on hold about 4 months ago that I think should help you with your walk in terms of identity, your relationship with God, how you show up with your family. And finally, number four, some tactical, practical things I've been doing with the kids, with my wife that I think will serve you. So let's jump into this. I'm going to start with number one, the new podcast. I am launching a podcast called Christians Talking Business on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You'll be able to find this. I'm going to drop all the links in the show notes. In case you'd like to subscribe, follow, leave a review, that would be an amazing way for me to start. In case you wanted to listen to entertaining, inspirational business ideas, case studies, and spiritual encouragement for Christian entrepreneurs and wantrepreneurs. This is a sorely lacking category, in my opinion. I listened to a number of secular business podcasts, and while I enjoy them while they're entertaining, they're becoming more and more degenerate, talking about like OnlyFans business ideas and just profit, profit, profit. I think it's so important today as the culture gets more and more of a hook in every one of us, every one of our lives, that we have somewhere to go to hear how do I, if I'm called to be an entrepreneur, how do I do this while serving God, not mammon? And these are the conversations I want to have. I want it to be entertaining. I want it to be fun. I would love, I mean, guys, I love nerding out on business stuff, ideas, case studies, numbers, how long it took, how did you do this thing? I love that kind of stuff, but I also would like to wrap that conversation in. Okay, there's always temptation to just go for the money here. How did you do this while worshiping God, while putting God number one? So we're going to have those conversations. Christians Talking Business, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever else you want to listen. Check it out. Would love to have you follow along. Would love to have some of you guys who are in business or looking to be in business follow along and hopefully get some value out of that. It's been a really fun project overall so far. And we're four episodes in with four more to record over the next week or two. And yeah, we'll just have a ton of content around that. Number two, my new business, ProclaimPodcasting.com. We edit podcasts for Christian coaches and entrepreneurs. Basically, all you need to do is hit record, finish recording, and we will do the rest. This is something that I built for my own podcast, the Dad Work Podcast. And over the course of the last number of months, it has just become an opportunity for me to serve a number of the people that I already knew in business with their own podcasts. And so now we've got a number of clients. We are up and running. We have got a number of podcasts who are doing 3 episodes a week, 5 episodes a week, one doing 1 episode a week, which is what I thought they would all be. And here we are doing 3 and 5 otherwise. So if you run a podcast, if you know of anyone who runs a podcast who could use some help, please either go to or send them to ProclaimPodcasting.com. We do literally everything from the audio to the video to show notes to uploading to publishing to putting reels and shorts together for social media. We'll do that all. And we specifically work with Christian entrepreneurs and coaches. We get it. I've been in the space. I can add a lot of value to businesses like that. So ProclaimPodcasting.com. Thanks for considering that, guys. It would be really valuable to me in case you knew anyone. All right, number three, learnings since deciding to put Dad Work on hold about 4 months ago. So I am not going to be coming back to Dad Work anytime soon, maybe ever. I obviously have considered it. I've been tempted to come back. Oh, well, there's already a business there. It's already working. I can make some money again rather than have to start this whole new business of Proclaim Podcasting, which is, you know, it's growing and yet it's not covering everything. It would be so easy to just go back to Dad Work and post some stuff and have some courses or whatever. And the courses are still up. If you guys want to go take the courses, dad.work/courses, great. That would be amazing. I think there's a huge lot of value there. But as far as I know, I'm not coming back anytime soon. It would take, you know, God absolutely destroying this other business and convicting me deeply that apparently I am supposed to do this after only a few months. I don't think there's that kind of ricochet going on. I'm feeling very peaceful with where I am right now. Yeah, there's other opportunities that I've got to work with guys in the space, but not on like a front-facing capacity, mostly just utilizing some of the content that we've created in the past. So I don't think it's my place right now to be speaking, maybe to encourage men and to bring them together in fellowship and stuff. Like I know that there's some gifting there that I've seen to have, and I'm trying to do that locally. I'm trying to meet with people, trying to encourage people, trying to just be part of the men's groups, the Bible studies that I'm part of locally. Who knows? I think there's a lot for me to continue to learn before I would ever feel comfortable putting things out there. I am more confident than ever that God has really gifted my wife and I with a wonderful marriage, with wonderful kids, with the understanding of how to do those things. But the more that I know, or the more that I learn, the more that I learn that I don't know. And that's an interesting place to be. It's like in the maturing process, I have just seen right now that I do not feel comfortable in sharing anything like that, because I am still raw, as it were, from the work that God's been doing in my heart, which is for me to step back and not have to be the guy, not have to think 24/7 about, oh, what content do I need to put out around this? And that's all my growth. I'm just not feeling like I need to be putting out content like that. And so if you're looking for this kind of thing, I strongly encourage you to find older men. I know there are even fewer of those guys out there, particularly online world, but elders who have proven themselves worthy of being listened to, men whose children are grown, who continue to have a relationship with God, who are good children, men who have gone through suffering periods where they have trusted God and come through them, men whose marriages are obviously joyful and fruitful. Even if you need to search around, find a man like that and do your best to be with him, learn from him, ask him questions. Don't get so jacked up in the marketing speak of Instagram and the online world. You know, I was guilty of it. And I think that I tried to always be the voice that would actually be serving people rather than just, you know, causing division. But even with me, even with the wisdom that I think God has given me, I would still say go find someone locally, or go find someone who somehow has been interviewed somewhere online, who's older and mature, and follow that person. So leave it at that. One of the big things, though, that I want to touch on was that there's been a huge shift in just my inner identity. For the first time ever, my default mode is to just accept that I am beloved. And that was a thing that really was not easy for me to get to for my entire life. It was a sense of not being good enough, needing to prove myself, always being the one who is responsible for everything, always being the one who, if he's not perfect, will get shut out, left behind, whatever, not deserving of love, blah, 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 blah. And that really does color. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to that. It really does color how you act in life. And there's this fear, there's this trepidation, there's this anxiety, there's this stress of, oh no, what are they going to think? Or, you know, I'm not good enough to do that. Or, oh, you know, my kids are like this, but I'm just going to be angry at them because I still got to prove myself. Like it colors everything, marriage, kids, family, like everything. And so it's been a remarkable change for me to feel beloved as sort of a default as a child of God. And that's been, what a gift. And I long for that to be true for every one of you guys listening. A lot of this comes from identity work. Who do you truly believe yourself to be? Do you believe that you are a citizen of heaven? Do you believe that you're a son of God? Do you believe that you are beloved as he says you are? Or do you believe that you are what happened to you as a child? Do you believe the trauma story that that's your identity? You're not lovable. You can't be lovable. You're so special that everyone else can accept God's love. Sure, of course, that's fine, but no, not me. That's a really hard thing for us in this culture. We're so traumatized, so to speak, from bad parenting and situations that happened. And yet that's no real excuse. And I realize after the fact here that even me, having done a lot of this trauma work and healing work and all that kind of stuff, that was all required, I would say, so keep doing that. But it's just truth that whether or not we feel it, God still loves us. And so that identity is always there for the taking. So I pray that you guys would pray for that if you don't currently feel that. But stepping away really does something. I felt like stepping away from things that kept me tied up or tied down into a wrong identity has been extremely impactful, because of course, identity, like I just said, is the big thing. For me with dad work, it was almost like I was cutting off the hand that made me sin, like Jesus said. And it's not that I was sinning about this. It's that I couldn't get past my own wrong identity inside the confines of being, you know, dad work Kurt. There was something about that was off, and it wasn't intentional. I was doing everything I could to be valuable and to give and to gift, but there was a piece of me that was doing that from a place of lack. Like, oh, I need to prove myself. I need to have you guys like me. I need to say the right thing. I can't ever do anything wrong. If I'm not perfect, if I'm not showing to be perfect, you guys are going to hate me. Nobody's going to, buy my stuff anymore. I'm going to be destitute, blah, 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 blah. Letting go of dad work for me ended up being like cutting off that hand that was making me sin. It freed me up to focus on what God was doing. And without that thing in my life, it did exactly what I anticipated it would do, which was just, man, it like flushed me. And again, I didn't know this. And that's God's grace. Like he led me to start this. He led me to have some success with it. And then he called me to stop so that all of this flushing out could be done. Now, this is not the end of this. You know, there's just continually infinite depths to flushing ourselves out, to dying to self, to carrying our cross, to finally become Christ-like. I mean, even Christ didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And so, again, there's eternity before I will ever be close to that. And so I'm, you know, looking forward with bated breath, more pain that I will have to go through to get there. But I'm also, you know, worshiping God in that because he is good. And it is for my good that he wants me to be more Christ-like too. Basically, what this is kind of a call to surrender the thing in your life, perhaps, that doesn't even seem like it's a thing that could be surrendered because it's so big. Like, how can I surrender this wall? It's always been here. It's like, how far back can you go? How much can you get to 30,000 feet and see that for what it is? There really are no things that are just set in stone in our lives that we can't change. Oh, I'm stuck in this job. Well, no, you could quit. It's like, oh no, I couldn't because then I'd have no money. It's like, well, you could quit. You could find another way to make money. It's like, oh, I can't leave. I'm stuck living here. I can't go anywhere else. It's like, you could move to even a different country. And I've done that. So I know you can do that. And like, basically there's all these things that you're like, oh no, I could never give that up because it's just who I am, what I do. Like God wouldn't be able to, it's like, no. Anything that you think that is true of might be a great opportunity to surrender that thing specifically. And of course God doesn't just have us tearing down walls all over the place. But for me, dad work was a wall that I needed to surrender. I didn't even know it was a wall. It's like, this is my business. I can't give this up. People would think I'm crazy. Where am I going to get the money from? I can't start a new business. I don't have time for that. I don't have the money for that. And I was like, oh, this was actually the thing that I needed to give up so God could do the work. So anyway, another notch on God's belt for having it all under control, and praise him for that. He's all powerful. He will deliver you. Like, he's faithful. That's what I've seen. And that's what a lot of the people I've talked to recently have seen as well. Specifically through this identity thing, I want to touch on that real quick. Prayer has been so important on this. Memory reconsolidation, so to speak, has been really important in this. And what I mean by that is I've been praying with a man that I'm blessed to know, and he basically will pray with me in such a way that I am brought back to an early memory that hurt, a trauma memory, so to speak. And what we'll do is we'll see that, we'll feel it, we'll really visualize it in a process, and then he'll invite me to look for Jesus in that moment. And every single time I've done this through prayer and trusting that God's going to show up, I have seen Jesus in such a way that made me feel that, oh, I wasn't alone here. And this was, unfortunately or otherwise, the path that he has for me. And he's always been there. And doing this 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times or whatever it's been, all of these monumental moments of my life have suddenly just softened into, oh, I'm beloved and Jesus never let me go. And he's right in Matthew when he says, I will be with you to the end of this age. He's always there. And so what would it look like if I truly believe that? And yes, with my feeble human mind, sometimes I have to visualize that in a sort of safe container where I'm not going to be distracted, where I can literally visualize Christ with me. What does that mean? He's in me. The Father's in him. He's in me. Like there's this Trinitarian hug going on in the cosmos. And so what does that mean? If you guys have a chance to do this, I don't know if you can do it alone. I don't know if you need to talk to people. I can give you a recommendation if you need to do it with someone. But seeing Jesus in these painful memories and realizing that they can be redeemed and they have been redeemed, this is the thing for me that really just shifted my identity. It's like, oh, God loves me enough for that? Oh my goodness, he was there with me then? Oh, he never actually let me go and it's all for my good because he knows best. Oh my goodness, wow. I'm not a victim anymore. I am so blessed that this happened because now I'm drawing even nearer to God. So anyway, that's been a huge thing, just in God's grace to be able to trust and accept who I am. And yeah, it's almost like so much of the stuff that's held me back, even that I've been good at managing, right? Like there's a lot of things that I had healed from, but there's not a lot of things that I didn't heal from that I was just good at managing. And it's like a lot of those things that were good at being managed are now just gone. And I don't think about them. And I pray that, you know, everyone can experience that because God is so good and so faithful in that. I'm going to give you another update related to what it was like immediately after giving up dad work. I went through a number of like deep depressions, uncertainty. And that was weird because I was like, I have not felt like this for like, I don't know, 7 years since I was thinking about killing myself and everything was terrible. And I was the worst part of my family's life. And I was like, what the heck? And as I was grasping around for like, I know how to get out of this. Breathing, mindfulness, doing stuff, working out, blah, 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 blah. Nothing was working. I was just in this pit. And I was talking to someone I pray with. And I was like, I know how to get out of here. Like, I built a ladder years ago. I've got out of here before. I'm like, it feels like the ladder's been taken away. Where are the rungs that I build? And he said, I think that God has taken that ladder away because he wants to be the ladder that pulls you out of this. And man, that was difficult. It was very hard to trust God in that. It was very hard to see his goodness in that, his will in that. But he was faithful and he pulled me through that. And I realized afterwards that I think a lot of the sort of depressed uncertainty was from too much freedom and no direction. And so I have really idolized freedom, honestly, in some senses, and I'm trying to repent of that. But after I put dad work on hold, I had infinite possibilities. I had like four or five projects I was excited about. I'm just going to follow God here. I made some journals, truthjournals.com, I think is the website if you guys want to buy a journal that I made. I traveled to a couple of events with people that I knew, masterminds I was in. I was like totally just looking for what God had for me. I had this podcast idea, had this other idea, had this agency idea that I, you know, got a couple clients and I was like, well, podcast agency is kind of boring. I don't know if I really want to do that. And I was just like, what am I going to do without direction? I think this is very hard for men. I think that men must have direction, even if it feels like it's not the perfect direction. Simply taking action and deciding it's the right direction makes it the right direction. And that is what I experienced. So not having a decision, not making a decision to follow a certain path is horrible for men. It was for me. And again, like if it's not the perfect choice, you just got to sometimes go all in on something. I was actually not leaning into stuff, probably because I've often wanted to choose projects from which I had an escape hatch in case they failed. Because of course, going back to perfectionism, if I fail at something, I'm bad. Nobody's going to love me, blah, 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 blah. And so with this, I'm like, there's nowhere for me to go now. I'm all in on this. There's nothing else God's going to have to provide here. And if it's not this, well, praise God, because it'll be miraculous. And that's the position I put myself in. And that really changed a lot of things. I've been really leaning on sort of Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Now, I was holding on to lean not on your understanding separate from the rest of that section of scripture. And it was only when I read the whole thing and was like, oh, duh, did it really start to make an impact on me. And the thing that I want to just touch on here is that he shall direct your paths sort of requires that you're on a path. And for me, I was like waiting at the junction. I'm like, okay, God, make my decision. And I was getting super anxious because it wasn't clear. I'm like, I can't hear his voice. What is he doing? Why can't he do this? It's like, oh no, he's allowing me to trust him that whatever path I take, as long as it is trying to obey, trying to glorify him, he's going to make that path straight. As long as I'm not like intentionally sinning, he doesn't care what the path is. He knows that he's going to do the work anyway. And so I just got to take that first step. So again, through a lot of strife, through some good counsel, which by the way, make sure again to get some good counsel in your life. I decided to make a decision, close off the other paths that had me unsure about moving forward. And I just went all in on Proclaim podcasting and one method of marketing that I could go all in on. And I've just felt wonderful. It's like, what am I going to do? How do I work diligently on this thing? It doesn't need all this work. And I've just found ways to do sort of like the boring brick by brick building of this work and not need it to take off. For the first time ever this year, like I've always gone like, okay, I want to make X amount of money. It's going to be bigger this year than the year before. It's always got to be bigger. Even though it's always like made ends meet, even though it's always been like more than enough to make ends meet, I've always been like, oh no, it's not so much bigger than it was last year. Therefore, I'm a failure and I'm a loser and I'll feel bad. This year, I was like, God, could you just give me enough to top up my savings account so I don't run out of money this year? It's like, that's maybe, I don't know, 20 grand for the rest of the year. Like, could you just please do that? And it was so funny that within the first month or so of starting this business with a couple of clients who signed on right away, it was like, there you go. I'm like, what? Like, you've already done this for me? And of course, I don't want to spend all my money. I don't want to spend all my like emergency funds and business funds and all that kind of stuff. But if I needed to, he's already provided that prayer. And then he gave me another client. And then hopefully, you know, this year is still young. We should get more clients after that. So it's been wonderful to do that. It's been wonderful not to have to worry about like, oh no, my business isn't going to be the gigantic, huge home run because I don't need it to be. I need to seek God in all of this, and that's where it is. So I don't know where the rest of the clients are coming from, but if we do a good job, if we serve our existing clients and continue to help and serve and network with other people, I'm confident God will bring more clients, more provision, whatever it's going to be. And it's been a glorious journey. He's going to be glorified through this, and it's not easy, but it is good. It is right. For the last month or so, this is another point underneath this third point, learnings, I've been extremely chill. Like very peaceful. And I praise God for that peace. I felt like I've been able to sort of stay on top of the chaos, the difficulty of everyday life. Like things are mostly good, but things still come up. But it seems like he's given me this hunger and thirst for him lately where I just like I need more. I want more. I long to be with him in a way that is new, even though he's always given me zeal. It's like a renewed zeal. It's pretty crazy. And so I'm so focused on Jesus right now, and specifically in making that real. Like, what is the discipline I need to have to follow him and pray and read my Bible and be in fellowship and explore how else can I be with him, serve him, just basically become transformed into the image and likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. How do I do that? I've been longing for that. And it's been so good that as I have taken this so seriously, again, commentary here, I think the modern Christian movement in America, et cetera, is so casual. It's like, God is not casual. Why are we treating him like this? Why do we worship the way we worship? Why do we only pray for a couple minutes? Why do we like read a devotional on our Bible app for 5 minutes in the morning? You're like, oh, I spent my time with God. Like, shouldn't we be taking this more seriously? So anyway, that's not to say we as a, directive. That's just me personally. I need to be taken more seriously. So it's been really good because a lot of prayer, a lot of reading, a lot more just like, what would it look like in my life if I actually followed what Jesus said? Like, do I genuinely believe this? Do I genuinely believe that I should pick up my cross, deny myself? Do I genuinely believe that I am dead with Christ on his cross and that I'm only alive again through his resurrection? If I really believe that, that changes everything. And it should, because that's the truth. It's not a casual thing. It's not a cultural thing. We shouldn't be so comfortable in that truth because we are countercultural, like almost definitionally. We are cutting across, like Jesus, the entire culture of this world because the world hated him. It's going to hate us. So anyway, I've been thinking a lot about this. Just for me right now, I'm exploring what Christianity looks like in the Orthodox context. Obviously, people will fight about schisms and Catholicism and Protestantism and Orthodox and all this kind of stuff. God has convicted me very strongly that Orthodox is a place where he would like to have me worship. It is so rich for me and has really given me a structure of sorts for my faith so that I know how he wishes to be worshiped, so that I can not be casual in this, so that I can get serious about this, but serious about this in a way that truly reveres and is awestruck by God, which I think is hard to find elsewhere. And I'm not going to get into doctrinal debates, all that kind of stuff. I think there are people saved in all streams of Christianity, at least the main three, Orthodox, Catholicism, and Protestantism. I'm not going to debate that. But for me, it has been mind-blowing. I am, continuing to learn about it. I'm reading books. I went to my first liturgy last week, and it was beautiful. I can hardly even explain that. So if you want to tell me that I'm wrong about that, please drop me a line. Would love to, be proved wrong in case I've missed something, obviously, because I just want to, follow and glorify God in the way that he wants me to. And this seems like it right now, but I'm exploring and, obviously ready to be turned away if it's wrong. So praise God for that. So anyway, take it seriously. And that's really, really impacted my life. It's had me think about how I'm serving my family, how I'm serving my wife, how I am sort of dying to myself, how I'm positioning myself hierarchically in relation to God. I need him. Like I am only alive through him. And it was only too easy for me before I started. I don't even know what this is. Like, I don't even know why I got serious. I don't know when I got serious. I don't know how you can get serious. It's just like, I wasn't sure that I was really denying myself, that I was really humbling myself before him, beforehand. I think I was putting myself on a pedestal still, even trying not to, a little bit beside him. And this has just really positioned me hierarchically, vertically with him, which I think for my soul is so restful. It is so good. It is so wonderful to worship him like this. So what is the fruit of our relationship with God? What is the fruit of our worship? Are we truly dying to self? Are we truly serving like Christ? Questions to consider. Finally, final point on what I've learned recently is I think that I've been rebelling against God's original curse on earth, on man, on Adam, basically, because I was reading through Genesis slowly, Genesis 3, then 3:17, I'm going to read here. Then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So I was reading this slowly, and that convicted me so hard because I have been rebelling against that curse. I have been believing that if I just work hard enough, if I just have enough money, if I just get to a place with my business that, you know, passive income is so much that I don't have to work anymore. Oh, that has been my goal for the longest time. I just want to get there. I want to get to that shelf. I want to get to that spot on the mountain where I can lie down and rest and go, oh, I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm taken care of. Everything's fine. But I realized in reading this and just with what's going on in my life recently, I will never get the security or the peace that I'm looking for here on this earth through money, through anything else, even if you make a ton. I know people who've made a lot of money and who've lost it all. I know people with businesses that are decades old and all of a sudden they're basically gone. And even if you're one of those people who have generational wealth that like you literally couldn't screw up, that's a huge risk. That's a huge risk because do you really genuinely feel like you have to rely on God? Now, obviously he will make you stand. You'll make his servant stand. And that's not something I'm here to judge. But it's harder, right? Like you don't need to trust him in that provision. Now, I would love for him to make things easy for me. I would love more money. I would love to bless my family. I'd love to give to causes that are important. But all that being said, that security that my soul longs for will never be found in money. You know, even some of the secular podcasts I listen to that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast for business, you always hear the guys who have made it like, yeah, now I'm just trying to figure out like what the purpose is, what the meaning is. And guys typically are like super depressed after they make a big sale, after they've got all the money, because they're like, oh, this wasn't it. And taking all these things together, my experience, the experience of people I've listened to like that, it's like, oh yeah, you will never find the peace and the rest this side of heaven, because it's only ever going to be found in the arms of God when you die and go to heaven. Like that is, for me, that was mind-blowing, because there's all these comforts the modern world offers. And we often think that if we can just be comfortable enough, oh, that longing, that restlessness we all feel, when is it going to get there? This rat race. It's like, I think that this life is just rat race. Like that is the craziest part. Unless and until we can give our lives fully to Christ and more so every single day, that is the only shadow of peace we're going to get here. And that's a beautiful thing. Praise God that he allows us that shadow of peace to rest in him while we are still alive on this earth in this this dead man's body, so to speak. But if you want that forever, it's not going to be money. And why would it be? I mean, God cursed the land. He said through our painful toil, through the sweat of our brow, we will have to eat. And it's like, okay, that doesn't say until you make enough money or until you store up enough grain, Adam. It's like, that's the curse forever. And so considering we're still in a cursed world, that's just necessarily true. And so, man, that's been blowing my mind recently. For the first time ever, I've longed for heaven. You know, the pastor sometimes at church is like, well, Jesus is coming soon. I can't wait. And I'm like, why? Like, that's weird. Life is pretty awesome. I like this. This is fun. I would love to worship God alive for a while first. And like, I still do, but it's kind of like, man, the thing that my heart wants most, I'll never get this side of the grave. That's so, it's been crazy for me. And it's tragic, it's heavy, but it's also beautiful. It's almost like I'm grieving the fact that I've just realized that this life ain't it. Which is crazy to think, because like Jesus is very clear about that, but it's almost like an experiential thing for me. I pray that he's just gracious and gentle with me along this learning path. But it's kind of like Paul said, right? Like to live is Christ, to die is gain. But he was also glad that he wasn't dead, because he got to minister to the faithful in the churches he worked with. And so that's my prayer. God, as I'm on this earth, let me do your will. Let your will be done. Let my will be the same as your will. And let me just do your work here. So anyway, crazy thing to think about, rebelling against the curse. You're never going to find it here. And that's actually more peaceful, because now it's not like, oh, I'm not there yet, but other people are. It's like, oh, nobody's ever going to get there. Let's just do our work diligently. Let's love God and await the day he calls us home. So I've had a lot of peace from that. All right, final sort of section here, some things that are working for me, just tactical little things that hopefully you guys can use in your own family lives. Number one, I have been giving the kids 5 minutes instead of immediately giving a consequence or a punishment, because I've noticed that I was coming down on the kids with a consequence or a punishment right away, expecting that basically they'd be perfect all the time. And that's totally unfair. I understand that a quick rebuke is going to give them the learning that they need. And I have found that there's been a lot of mercy and a lot of results from giving them 5 minutes to chill out and then to come back and apologize. They've just been doing it. So rather than like, hey, you're going to your bedroom for this amount of time, or hey, you're losing this for this amount of time, it's like, hey, I see you're super upset right now, you're super activated, whatever. Go to your bedroom for 5 minutes. If you can chill out, come back and apologize, we're good. And like 90% of the time, they'll do that. And I'll come in and I'll say, hey, you know, 5 minutes. If you can't do this by 5 minutes, then you're going to have this consequence, and we're going to have to talk about this, and we're going to deal with this. But they usually will come back and be like, yep, 5 minutes was enough to chill out. sorry about that. Here's what I did wrong. Please forgive me. And it's like, you're forgiven. Here's what the problem was. Let's not do that again. And that has been so much more peaceful than trying to deal with it, which like, oh, what's the immediate consequence I got to give? Okay, you're doing this and then I'm angry and then you're angry and then you're screaming and I'm screaming. It's like, even with being able to be an emotional master in this and communicate well, which, you know, I'm very blessed to have been able to learn over the last number of years, this has just taken the temperature down even further. I think we're pretty good at this already, but it's taken the temperature down way further. And so if you can just be like, hey, 5 minutes, here's the expectation. Let them know the expectation from now on. I'm going to ask you to go 5 minutes. If you can do that, if you can come back 5 minutes, apologize, we're good. If you can't, then we're going to have to do the consequence thing. That's a great thing to try in your house. It's been working for us really well. We also recently went through kind of a game around the table after dinner a few weeks ago. And it was basically a family role game. It was like everyone got a piece of paper and then we all shared with each other what we thought their role in the family was, because God made us a family team for a reason, with the people that are in our family. Our kids are here for a reason. It's not an accident. We are the parents of our children for a reason. It's not an accident. So what is our role in the family? We're not all the same. We're not all, you know, 3-point shooters or whatever. Some of us are, I don't know, basketball. I don't know why. I have no idea why I use that. We're not all goalies. Okay. We're not all defensemen. We're not all right wing, left wing, centers, whatever. We're not all coaches. If we all were, then we'd have a terrible team. So what are the roles and the strengths and the giftings that each member has? And how can you then use that knowledge to give people opportunities that they will thrive in and therefore feel more assured that they have worth, that they have value to the overall family team? And so, we all got our paper and I started just telling, you know, the kids what I saw in them. You know, George, you're an amazing communicator. You are so outgoing, and you're the guy who's like the engine all the time. John, man, like you build things, you create things out of nothing. You're really good at like coming up with solutions. Leo, you're so playful. You're so yourself. You're so loving and easy to get along with. That just helps all of us to remember to just have fun, to be joyful, all this kind of stuff. I told my wife, and then everyone just took turns saying like, oh, I think you're this. Oh, I think you're this. I really like how you do this. And by the end of it, you know, we then at the very end were able to write down what we thought our gifts were. And then it was like, okay, sweet. Well, whenever we have like hospitality, this person's the best greeter or like, you know, gregarious person. You're going to be the person who invites people in, and you know, you're the builder. So you're going to be the one who puts a meal together or whatever that looks like. Right. So there's opportunities to speak affirmations into people's life and your family, to clarify the roles, which is very important, because a lot of times, a lot of the issues in families, particularly in marriages, are because the roles are not set out beforehand. People don't agree on them. There's resentment because it's like, oh, I thought that was your role, but we never talked about it. Now I'm upset at you. If you just do this, it's a wonderful way to get everyone on the same page of who's good at what their specific giftings are and how that can be used for the good of the family. So in relation to me trying to take my walk with God more seriously, there's just been a lot of prayers. There's been a lot of, like I said, hierarchical, vertical relationship, which is beautiful. And it's made me more in tune with being the real servant in servant leadership. And again, I've said this countless times before, servant leadership is leading by serving, but it's also serving by leading. So don't get me wrong there. But it's also like, when I say no, for no reason other than like, I just don't really want to, I am catching myself much quicker than usual. So yes, sometimes it's totally fine to say no to your kids because you don't have time or you're doing something else or it's not appropriate. But often I find myself, I don't know if you guys do too, but I find myself saying no because I just don't want to. Well, I'd rather like, I don't know, do this. I'd rather sit on the couch. I'd rather look at my phone. I've been able to catch myself a little bit more, and it's been really good for me. I can feel the dying to self happening when I say yes to something I don't want to do. And it's happened a couple times over the last week where I'm like, yes, I want to do that. And in my head, I'm like, no. But it's also happened when I've said no. And what I'm doing now is I'm just making it okay for myself to repent and be like, you know what? That was a pointless no. I actually mean yes. Please forgive me. Let's do this thing now. So anyway, that's another thing that I think is really important reminder is, yeah, there's a super important structure to be like, nope, I'm the dad, we're not doing this. But it's also like, check your heart, man. Like, why? If the why is legitimate, great, you're in charge. If the why is like, I don't want to, but I could, it's like, maybe repent. So that's been useful for me at least. Anyway, final thought is I'm just feeling super settled in an understanding that, you know, the pendulum between disciplining your kids and loving them unconditionally. I used to think that I had to like bounce between those two, and I wasn't never sure the weight I had to give them. Like, oh, am I disciplining too hard? Then I feel bad. And I kind of go back the other way, like apologize too much. Then I'll be like, oh, I don't know. I need to discipline them because I got to learn. And I'm just really comfortable right now that, like, it's both. You got to learn the skills. You got to learn how to love them. You got to learn how to get out from underneath emotional stuntedness, which most of us have had just because it's the world we live in. We got to learn how to communicate well. We got to learn how to discipline effectively. But guys, like, God's a perfect father. Follow his lead. Repent of the things that you need to repent of. Practice, and he will be faithful. And this is maybe just, I don't know how to teach this at all. I'm just saying that I've been feeling really settled with my role lately in loving them and disciplining them without making big stories about it, without being like, oh, am I going to traumatize them? Or, oh, they're so bad for this. It's like, some things need to be disciplined. I always love you. We're figuring it out. And as long as I come back every day and spend time with you and pray with you, we're going to be good. So that is it for this, perhaps, likely, the last episode of the Dad at Work podcast. Thank you so much. I still get people emailing that they just found the podcast. There's a lot of you guys who have been with us for a number of years now. And thank you. This has been my favorite thing in dad work to do this podcast, to talk to people, to talk about fatherhood, how we get better at that. And end of an era, really. So thank you guys for being a part of this. Thank you for listening. If I can serve you at all through podcasts, Christians Talking Business, give us a listen and follow. If I can serve you by editing your podcast as a Christian coach or entrepreneur, proclaimpodcasting.com. If you would like to go through any of the Dad Work courses, dad.work/courses, they're all available there. I will leave them up for a while. So that will be your chance to get your last little bit of dad work, I guess. So anything else you would like to communicate with me, send me an email, kurt@proclaimpodcasting.com, or DM me on Instagram. I'm never on Instagram anymore, but I do have an app set up to redirect messages to another app that I'm using. So all that being said, guys, thank you for being here. This has been the Dad Work Podcast. I appreciate you. God bless you. Goodbye for now.